Look at that.
It's going to be amazing.
We good? We're good. Okay.
We're phenomenal. Just making sure our studio back in Philly is recording this.
Test 1, 2, 3. I pop my peas. I'm loud. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Test. I feel your pain.
There we go.
I feel your pain.
There we go.
You guys were actually getting into an Eagle segment as I was leaving the hotel room. I'm like, I got to leave like in like 2 seconds. I'm like, this will be exactly what I could get him on. But what do you mean, Andrew? What did you say on the air about? So... Can't be coming at us now. All right, we go here. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, joined alongside by NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Siciliano.
Common spelling. Yep.
Indeed, and he has phenomenal work that you're going to see on NFL Network all leading up to Super Bowl 52 on Sunday, which has 8.5 hours of live pregame coverage.
It's a lot, yeah.
You ready? Marathon session, baby.
It actually begins in like an hour, yeah.
So we'll get you out of here nice and quick. But first, we actually have to thank you. A little bit of a thank you here. Let's go back to the combine. And you presided.
Wait, the combine last week or the combine a year ago?
A year ago.
Okay.
Okay. You presided over the coin toss.
Oh, that's right.
That allowed the Eagles to get the 14th pick, which they used to select Derek Barnett, who had the strip sack in the NFC Championship game. So, Andrew, a small part in the Eagles' road to the Super Bowl. We got to thank you for that.
I feel honored. I feel touched. I actually told, I saw Howie Roseman last night, and I told him, I'm like, it's,
see?
I feel like part of this, A, and then B, I want to be the guy that does the coin toss every year.
I like that. You were like, phenomenal in that role.
We can build a niche. You know the funny thing about that? So, you guys remember the coin toss, who was in Indy? We get out there, and I thought it's going to be like 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Right. Here's Chris Ballard. Here's Howie Roseman. Here's Rick Spielman. Let's flip the stinking coin and get out of here. So we're about to start, and someone from the league office says, "Hey, can you stretch this a little bit?" I said, "Sure." Like, how long?
Yep.
Can you make it like 20 minutes? I'm not making that up. I said,
"Oh, I believe it.
20 minutes? Like, yeah, 20 minutes." So we start it. I'm asking questions. I'm trying to have fun, and they're all having fun. To be fair,
yes.
But you can see Chris Ballard and Spielman.
Let's get this going.
Like, let's get this going. And finally, Chris, I asked Chris a question, probably like my third idiotic question to try to pad it. And Chris, like, can we just flip the coin? All right, let's do it. I was just doing my job to try to pad it.
NFL Network made a show out of it. That's
yes, they did.
Tremendous.
And as you guys know, doing this all week, there is a lot of time to film.
Certainly is.
Yeah.
Speaking of Howie Roseman, you've gotten a chance to speak with him a number of times. Can you speak to the job that he's done
in
building the depth to get the Eagles to this point where it could survive all the injuries, including one to franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz, and still be here playing in the Super Bowl?
I'm glad you said all the injuries, and obviously WarrenEagles.com, you guys are well aware that it's not just Carson Wentz. I think the national narrative, though, has to be reminded of that because we like to look at the shiny object. The quarterback is the shiny object,
of course.
Right? So when Carson Wentz goes down in Los Angeles and Nick Foles steps in, it's the easy analysis. It's also the most important analysis, certainly. But when you lose Jordan Hicks, when you lose Jason Peters, not just any left tackle, Jason Peters, when you go all the way back to, 5 months ago, and you lose Darren Sproles as well through all of this is – as well, when you consider the depth and the way they've acquired that depth, whether it be the offseason trades, whether it be the trade at the deadline that I think surprised everybody for Jay Ajayi, whether it's Alshon in free agency as well, it takes a lot to survive the injuries that the Eagles have gone through and at significant positions and still be here. And so credit goes to Howie and to Joe Douglas and to the great staff that the Eagles have, and I don't know that you could give a team front office award, but I think the Eagles and I think the Rams, if you were to give one of those out, you know, they could fight over it.
I'm also trying to get Howie and Doug credit for not just the job they've done from that standpoint, but from the coaching standpoint. You know, Sean McVay most likely is going to win the Coach of the Year award, but Doug Peterson and the job that he's done getting the Eagles to the Super Bowl in just his second season and doing it the way that he has, where he carried this team into the playoffs and they were able to beat the Falcons and then dismantle the Vikings. What do you think of the job that Doug has done in his second year as head coach?
We had the Coach of the Year conversation on our show today earlier, and I think Doug is going to get obviously strong consideration. I think it's hard to beat McVay here. I also think Doug Marrone going from three wins to the conference championship game is going to get a lot of votes. Go back a year ago. Doug Marrone is not exactly the sexiest choice there in Jacksonville.
Same as Doug in Philadelphia.
I mean, heck, I remember, what was it, the first or was it the second question in Doug's introductory press conference was, were you calling the plays on the final drive against the Patriots in Foxborough last week? Because Andy Reid wouldn't tell us who was actually calling the plays. I found the parallel there a couple of weeks ago as well, that Matt Nagy got a head coaching job and he had to answer those questions as well. Why were you calling those plays in your playoff loss to the Titans?
Very similar.
The symmetry there. I don't know if everyone else picked up on it. But, yes, Doug has done a great job. Jim Schwartz has done a great job as well. Doug doesn't, I hate to say, win press conferences. He's not doing stand-up, and he's not exactly the opposite, which is Belichick.
He's somewhere in between.
He tries
to be accommodating, but he's himself.
I think those are the two things, himself and accommodating. And he's a real person. It's not an act. But forget about that for a second. Look, they're here, and they did have all those injuries. And, I mean, who knows what the record would be if Carson didn't get hurt. I think he'd still be here. I don't have any doubt about that. But, I mean, he'd have at least one more win probably on the wall.
Do you think, Andrew, that this could potentially be the end of the Patriots' reign from the standpoint where...
You're assuming I'm picking the Eagles?
No. No. It would be, if you want to go on a limb and say it right here, feel free.
Well, we'll get to that. I don't know if it's the end of the reign because I don't think Brady is leaving. And, yes, there will be a one point when he hits the figurative wall and his play declines. We haven't seen it yet. I mean, there's obviously the natural ebbs and flows that any athlete has. He's 40. He's going to be 41 next year. He's going to keep playing. Unless one of those two hangs it up, I will continue to put my money on them and say they are here until they either A, quit, or B, somebody beats them. So...
For the Eagles to beat them,
mm-hmm.
What do you think has to happen?
So I want you to know, I picked the Falcons last year, and I was feeling really good.
You were right on for...
Really good. I think a couple of things. I think they need, you know, an early pick six like you had last week would be fantastic, or 2 weeks ago. I think they need to, I mean, look, all the cliched, control the clock, keep Tom Brady off the field, so on and so forth. But they got to get to Brady. They got to hit Brady. He got hit 40 times this year. You got to get there. I think the Eagles have, speaking of depth, I think they have the waves of front seven players to get there, front four specifically. I think they can get there. The Patriots always play a different game in the second half. We saw that against the Jaguars. We certainly saw it against the Falcons a year ago. Whatever happens in the first half, I am just hoping, if it is successful for the Eagles, that they can hold it over into the third and the fourth quarter, because there is one guarantee with this game. If the Patriots need to put their foot on the gas in the fourth quarter, they will, and that engine will respond because it has responded every single time.
He's Andrew Siciliano from NFL Network. Check out his work all leading up to Super Bowl 52 this Sunday, just a couple of days away. I'm Chris McPherson, and thank you all for joining us here from Radio Row in Minneapolis, here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.